Mackenzie Barberis, Sebastian Bartnick, Luigi Brende, Lydia Blum, Ishan Chakravorty, Simone Chen, Ishan Chaudhuri, Zora Duranty, Paris Every, Christian Flournoy, Ezra Galperin, Davion Gegman, Getulio Gonzalez Montier,
present.
Holden Hitchcock, Niles Height, Seon Kim,
here.
Jeffrey Letterman,
here.
Kathy Wu, Florence, Michael Odong, John Purcell, Saad Razak, Michael Scully, Jessica Silverman, David Soares, Christian Tarala, excuse me, Adam Vincent, Thor Rockspack, Jinzu Wu, Eric Yao.
Here.
Cornell University is located on the traditional homelands of the Gaigahono. The Gaigahono are members of the Haudenosaunee Confederacy, an alliance of six sovereign nations with a historic and contemporary presence on this land. The Confederacy precedes the establishment of Cornell University, New York State, and the United States of America. We acknowledge the painful history of Gaigahono dispossession and honor the ongoing connection of Gaigahono people, past and present, to these lands and waters. Please review the February 20th, 2025 meeting minutes.
Yeah, one thing. Stephen Juong is listed as absent.
Yeah, we'll be correcting that moving forward.
Representative Razak.
Section 10, subsection A, clause 11, it says that I question whether Cornell could legally apply. That's not what I said. I said it was questionable whether it was legal for the federal government to withhold funds. But shouldn't it amend?
To say what? You need to propose an exact amendment.
Amend the language to say, S. Razak raised concerns about whether the federal government could legally refuse to comply, or could legally refuse to distribute funds that had already been allocated.
Consent. Seeing none. Okay. EVP Vincent.
Section 10 on Resolution 33, subsection 5, SSC Kim questioned what would remain as Chan. So I just motioned to make that.
Okay.
Motion to amend.
amend to any of those? Okay, seeing none. Any further comments or amendments? Okay, seeing none, we'll move to communications to student assembly. So President Kolikoff has returned resolution 7 and 15, resolution 7 being executive governance reform part 2 and resolution 15 being the charter amendments for SAIFC. They both been returned for rather minor edits in language, and so they'll be re-edited and hopefully updated through the student assembly for another round of submission moving forward. Those meetings are on the calendar. Moving to consent calendar, we have resolution 34 approving special projects funding transfer request. Motion to approve items on the consent calendar. Okay, any dissent? Seeing none, the consent calendar items are approved. We'll now move to reports of officers, committees, and liaisons. I'll start with the Annabelle's ad hoc committee. The public comment is live on the resolution online, especially for those who are in the audience, as you are our constituents. If you already submitted to the Save Annabelle's petition on their own site, please just submit the same thing that you wrote or something onto our public comment. This is because having the comments about the work of Annabelle's on campus within our system is much easier for us to utilize as support when talking to administration about the value of Annabelle's on campus. So please, to everyone in this room, fill that public comment section out. Any further reports of officers, committees, and liaisons? Vice President Height.
Okay, so really quickly, so basically,
further questions? Okay, seeing none, further reports. Representative Razak and then Representative Gap.
Kevin and Golda from Paul.
Okay, food has arrived. Please don't get up in like big group. This group is fine. And then when they sit down, then people can replace them. I don't want an empty table for everyone to just be waiting in line. Okay. So wait until they sit down for people to leave. Thank you. Representative Galperin.
First and foremost, the March meeting for the dining committee has been postponed March 10th. To anyone in the audience, otherwise passionate. Second, on behalf of Representative Geckman, I hereby plug the student health advisory committee.
Representative EVP Vincent.
Just a quick announcement. The Environmental Committee is going to be meeting on Sunday at 7 o'clock. We're going to hopefully be having a presentation from the Sustainable Cornell Council's Climate Change Curriculum Working Group. This is something we've been working set up for a while, so it's going to be fun. So if you want to, pull up.
Further. You're not an officer or committee chair or liaison. Are there any further reports? Seeing none, we'll move to announcements. Resolution 37 has been moved to the top of the second reading calendar by vote of the executive board. So for anyone, that's some context on the agenda changes to come. We'll now move to public comment. The chair will now recognize any community member who wishes to speak at this time. Each community member may speak for up to 3 minutes. Is there anyone seeking to express public comment? You have 3 minutes. Please begin when you are ready.
My name is Adrienne Fink. I am the outreach director for the Progressives at Cornell. I'm here today to speak on Resolution 36, Protecting Immigrant Students. We are all sitting in this room today at a moment when so many of us, our friends, our family, our neighbors, live with the fear that at any moment their life might be uprooted. A moment when the federal government has pledged to initiate mass deportations of immigrants and has begun to implement this pledge. When here in Ithaca, one of our community members was pursued and detained by ICE just in the last month. This is also a moment when Cornell has an opportunity to protect its undergraduates, its graduate students, professors, faculty, and staff. An opportunity to say it will not lay down, roll over, and comply with the racist, xenophobic, and unconstitutional unilateral actions by the federal government. To say that it understands that the federal government's goal is to instill fear in all of us, including in the administrations of universities around the country. And to say that Cornell will not be coerced into illegally allowing the targeting of its community members. This resolution includes crucial protections for undocumented DACA, international, refugee, and other immigrant students at Cornell and Cornell community members. From Know Your Rights trainings to programs for refugee students to access to legal representation to preventing the violation of religious spaces by immigration officials. I urge the Student Assembly to seize this opportunity that this moment offers for you, to say that you will not stand by and watch as your constituents, your classmates, your friends live in fear, that you will instead use your position to protect them at this critical moment. Thank you.
You also have 3 minutes. Begin when you are ready.
Hello, everybody. My name is Yuhun Stitt. I'm also co-chair of outreach for Cornell Progressives. However, today I will be reading a public comment from the Cornell Latinx Association of Pre-Laws, also known as CLAP, in support of this resolution. So I'll begin that comment right now. This comment is being read on behalf of Cornell Latinx Association of Pre-Laws in strong support of Resolution 36, Protecting Immigrant Students. Our organization robustly supports this initiative to protect and support undocumented, DACA, international, refugee, and other immigrant students who are essential members of our campus community. Our organization is dedicated to providing resources and support for Latinx students pursuing careers in law, and we know that immigration status can present significant barriers to education and professional opportunities. Many immigrant students in our sphere face legal uncertainties, financial hardships, and systemic obstacles that make it more difficult to access the same opportunities as their peers. As we've been trying to bridge this gap, we believe Cornell has a responsibility to ensure that all students, regardless of their immigration status, have access to the resources and protections they need to thrive. By expanding support, training, and other programs that protect immigrant students, Cornell can take meaningful action to uphold its commitment to our famous motto, any person, any study. This resolution is not just about policy. It is about ensuring that every student at this university feels safe, valued, and empowered to pursue their goals. CLAP stands firmly behind Resolution 36 to achieve these goals and expand the protections of immigrant students, ensuring they can navigate their education without unnecessary barriers. We urge Cornell to take these necessary steps and demonstrate its commitment to protecting all members of its community. Thank you, members of CLAP.
sorry, do you mind speaking closer to the mic? It's hard to hear, especially for on Zoom. Thank you.
Hello, we are here as representatives from the International Student Union. As the body that represents the international student community on this campus, we support the sentiment behind this resolution strongly. We feel passionate about protecting the access to education by all students here, regardless of the threats to their immigration status, recent or prior. The protection measures, trainings, and cautions proposed by this resolution would help ensure the security of both local and international students, including those like many of us at ISU who are here on a student visa. We believe that this resolution would go a far way in mitigating the environment of, to be quite frank, fear that has grown up here in the last year on this community. Therefore, stand in support of passing this resolution to further protections for every member of this campus. Thank you.
Hi, my name is Buddha, and I currently serve as history co-chair for Black Students United. My parents came to America as refugees, and like countless others, they have contributed significantly to the American culture. As America continues to support the destabilization of foreign countries, we cannot throw stones and hide our hands. My parents, now in their 50s, finally have the opportunity to attend college for the first time. I cannot stand by and watch as their rights, along with those of other immigrants and marginalized communities, are threatened by the bigotry and xenophobia present currently. I advocate not only for myself, but for my parents, my cousins, and every immigrant who came here seeking the American dream, a dream that I believe that is only possible if we unite in solidarity against those who wish to deny us access to knowledge and social mobility. We believe, as BSU, that Cornell must take a stand to protect the rights of immigrant students, ensuring that education remains a pathway to opportunity for all, regardless of where they were born.
Basil Bob. I'm a sophomore student at the College of Arts and Sciences, and I'm here to speak for myself. As I'm sure we are aware, the Trump administration, falsely dehumanizing immigrants as invaders, has given itself wartime powers to target, harass, and harm immigrants' safety and rights, including members of our own campus community. He aims to weaponize and deputize ICE to hunt and detain immigrants, decimating communities without regard for the law or a sense of decency. Immigrants and international students, people just like you and me, who come here to study and contribute to this community, are now living in constant fear, not knowing if they'll be allowed to remain part of this community we call home. Cornell community and the student assembly has an obligation to its students to defend its values of any person, any study. We cannot cower as the federal government aims to harm and destroy lives of members of our own community. In these troubled times, we must uphold this value, that any student, regardless of race, gender, or immigrant status, has the right to feel secure and safe in pursuing their education. I ask you to support Resolution 36 to protect the lives of immigrants and international students and their right to education and uphold our values. Thank you.
Hello, everyone. My name is Asham. I serve as the director of the Office of Student Government Relations. But today I'm speaking on behalf of the Kashmiri Cultural Alliance, a fairly new registered student organization. The Kashmiri Cultural Alliance is made up of primarily immigrant students and international students. And we as a collective believe in the principles of justice and liberty for everybody. And for that reason, we fully support this bill, this resolution in all of its endeavors. We believe that international, undocumented, documented, and immigrant students should be protected at this university. I don't think that that is a status that should hinder anybody in any way at all. We should stand against forceful deportations and splitting apart communities in all the ways that we can, no matter what origin or what country the people come from. So on behalf of KCA, that's what I'd like to say. Thank you.
Good afternoon, members of the Student Assembly. My name is Sam Poole, and I'm here today speaking to you on behalf of the Cornell Young Democratic Socialists of America. I don't think I need to describe to you the fear that many in our community felt when they heard that ICE was in Ithaca. The fear of being deported. The fear of knowing that their university, which had previously weaponized the threat of deportation against student activists, might not be there to have their back when ICE came for them. This student assembly has a duty to represent its constituents and to protect the student body. And therefore, I urge you to pass the resolution before you today. Urge the university to implement Know Your Rights training so that every student, faculty member, and a member of CUPD who would be interacting with ICE and law enforcement knows their responsibilities. Make sure that the university is not cooperating with federal law enforcement unless legally mandated and is not providing them support to round up our own students. This is the bare minimum. This is what the Common Council of Ithaca has done. This is what the Tompkins County Legislature has done. And I would urge this assembly to follow those bodies and take a stand. Thank you.
Is there any further public comment? Okay. Thank you all for your time. We'll now move to the second reading calendar, where we have Resolution 37, Protecting Immigrant Students, as the first presentation. Closer to the mic. It's not a sensitive one.
I'm going to remove the mic from there. So before we begin, like with my previous resolution, I have a couple amendments. So I've added this to the box. Since this was, it's going to be under the name Appendix Resolution 37 Appendix A. These amendments are to add the authors who are not members of the assembly who helped to write this as co-sponsors, and also to add several other members of the assembly who sponsored after the resolution was placed in the box as sponsors. It's also to add several requests for amendments that members of the assembly asked for. Substitution on line 74, replacing the words must not with are not required. Substitution on line 113, asking to add the words under their First Amendment rights next to the words demonstrate and advocate. And place the section saying must provide the person whose information they have disclosed with notice within 1 hour via email or phone call with Cornell University should, to the fullest extent legally possible, provide prompt notification to individuals whose information is requested by external enforcement agencies. These are altogether minor.
you have a presentation
yes.
about the resolution, or could we move to Q&A? What would you prefer?
I'd like to, yes.
Are we motioning to approve all the amendments as a blanket?
Also, I would like to motion to approve those amendments.
Any dissent? Okay, seeing none, those amendments are approved.
Okay, so some of the things that are included in this resolution begins with discussing the ways in which university officials are required by law to give information to external enforcement officials. So that could be ICE agents, FBI agents, or other state or local police. And if the university is required by law to give information about a student to external enforcement, they must provide the person whose information they have given notice. One of the amendments was to tweak the language around that. The next is that Cornell implement a yearly mandatory Know Your Rights training. I think we all know they're the first year of organizations that include, you know, understanding Title IX, mission sustainability, so those trainings for first year students. And it would just talk about protocols for what to do if ICE or any external law enforcement official is requesting your or someone else's information. It would also ask Cornell to implement a yearly mandatory faculty and staff, because those are the people who most likely would be interacting with ICE or external law enforcement officials. So again, what to do if ICE or an external law enforcement official requests someone's information. It also says that in those trainings, Cornell should instruct members of the Cornell community that by law, if any external law enforcement official arrives, they do not have to answer questions about Cornell student, staff, or faculty. They should instead request credentials or identification of agents. They do not have to grant permission to access Cornell records or to search Cornell premises without first consulting with CUPD or the Office of the General Counsel, and that they do not have to accept service of any subpoena, warrant, or request from external law enforcement officials, as only CUPD and OGC are authorized to review such documents. It also asks Cornell to implement similar Know Your Rights trainings for dormitory building RAs and PhDs, and all staff members working within dorm buildings, instructing them on proper conduct during engagement with external law enforcement officials, as dorm buildings are private spaces. And additionally, in all these new trainings, it would teach people to use certain phrases when interacting with external law enforcement to assert their constitutional rights, such as, I am not authorized to answer your question, I am not authorized to review legal documents, I have been instructed to call Cornell police before you proceed, I will call my supervisor. It also provides for the university committing to give free legal immigration assistance if a Cornell member is targeted for deportation, and for the expansion of free legal services through new and existing initiatives. It also reaffirms Cornell's commitment to protect student records under FERPA, the Family Educational Rights and Privacy Act. It designates all religious spaces, including but not limited to Annabelle Taylor Hall and Sage Chapel, which house a lot of the religious life on campus, as spaces exempt by activity from ICE under the Religious Freedom Reform Act, which prevents the government from imposing substantial burdens on a person's religious practices. It also asks Cornell to ensure the continued existence of programs that provide resources designated for students who have vulnerable immigration statuses, and there's a list of them. It also provides for, if an international student breaks a code of conduct while exercising their First Amendment rights, Cornell should ensure that that student's punishment does not potentially invoke cancellation of their visa and thus lead to their deportation. And in the case that a Cornell member's visa is being terminated specifically for exercising their First Amendment rights, Cornell should be required to provide certain support to them, and that Cornell will not release their immigration status publicly for the federal citizens. And the same protections extend to staff. It also talks a lot about implementing a program for refugee students at Cornell, and I'm going to pass the microphone to Hisham, who has worked with a few groups to craft that.
Yeah, so part of the resolution is implementing a Welcome Core Campus initiative. Welcome Core Campus is a alliance or an already existing organization that's currently implemented at Arizona State, Georgetown, University of Maryland, Virginia Tech, And the basic premise is that Cornell University will provide support all the way from academic preparation of refugee students overseas to travel and housing fees, just as they would for international students. And then looking as to funding efforts and how the refugee students can be accommodated here and ensuring they have adequate resources, training, and support. The reason why we grouped along this initiative with this resolution in particular was because the student orgs and the groups that had advocated for this resolution to be implemented believe that it was a joint effort in protecting not just immigration status, but also when the refugee students get here for them to have additional support if Cornell were to approve the Welcome Core Campus initiative. There is a very extensive list as to how this can be funded and implemented and what the process would look like. And there are organizations, students, and professors on this in this university who would want to oversee and work with that process. This also directly aligns with Ithaca being a sanctuary city, but also Ithaca being historically very welcoming of refugees and being, or just in the case of like, the WCC implementation is mostly going to be a lot of hands-on student efforts and advocacy and looking as to how the refugee students can be accommodated from beginning to end of their academic career.
That was basically what the resolution had. Just like why it matters and why it's important for us as student assembly to stand behind it. As an immigrant myself, I think these are the high times where Cornell and us as a student assembly, we need to put more emphasis on any person, any study. We need to make sure that we are supporting all students on campus and we are giving them any resources that they need, whether that's legal consultation to just protecting their basic rights. As a student assembly, we need to ensure that we're giving them those rights. And I think it's super important for us to pass this resolution.
Yeah, I'm mostly here to just address a concern that has been raised to me on multiple occasions, which was fears that this would protect students who engaged in any sort of violent crime. Please, everyone, rest assured that is not the case.
This specifically was addressed within the just personally don't think that it would have allowed for anyways. Necessary for you to do this rather than just not do this. These were suggestions.
Questions? Okay, I'll call people say. As the first generation American myself and the child of a refugee, I really appreciate the sentiment behind this resolution. Vice President Flournoy first. Annabelle Taylor Hall and Sage Chapel are technically non-religious spaces per Cornell policies, I believe. So I think that that actually is a very good point, that the Religious Freedom Act, there's always a loophole.
I'm interested in some of the stuff. So I'd be interested in some specific language. We'll say regarding whether or not this resolution to be quote, still consider it woke because I don't actually think woke is a it's just something he's calling a bad thing right now because he feels that he has the majority opinion.
Yeah, just to add on to that, first of all, obviously we're in the second reading stage right now, so like if before next week you have anything else you think should go in there, if you have any ideas made, like by all means please speak to us about it. Like, we want contributions, the more people on this the better. As for, you know, I don't view this as a woke thing personally. Like, you know, I think we focus purely on the right side. For one, would consider myself anti-woke, if anything, and you know, I recognize the importance of protecting people on this campus as a first generation American, as the son of a refugee who fled religious persecution. You know, this is, you know, we can't conflate, you know, wokeness with, we can't say, I lost my train of thought, but you know what I'm saying.
Okay. Suggestions.
Sorry, just for time saving, because I do know we'll have a lot of comments and stuff, I'm going to limit question and answer response time to 3 minutes total per party. We'll start with Representative Gonzalez Montieri and then Representative Geckham.
First and foremost, I'd like to thank all the students from the student organizations who came today and advocated on behalf of this resolution. And I'd like to thank everybody who worked on this resolution. It's very important to me. I've actually had two cousins be deported. So it really hits close to home. I guess I have two questions. One is, like, what would be, like, how feasible would it be for us to amend a resolution to include, I guess, that Cornell support state legislation that's on the table, such as Dignity Not Detention, or New York for All, that impacts immigrant communities, especially in relation to ICE and detention in state facilities, and also if I could be added to the resolution.
The only thing I would say is if we do tie it to state legislation, which we can't, it does make it kind of dependent on it, and we want to make sure anything that's affecting our students is independent of that. Basically.
Just a very, very minor thing. As for supporting state legislations, that is something that the Office of Student Governmental Relations does, and there was a very recent state lobbying trip in which there was actually a bill that was sponsored by a Cornell clinic here, and it was bipartisan regarding status and stuff, which was supported by OSGR. So there are different avenues that Cornellians individually can take, but on terms of like what we do here, I think right now, as Amira had said, it would be a little.
Yeah. Sponsorship, yep, anyone's open to join. And I will say, if you're considering something like a resolution calling on the assembly or from the assembly in support of a law, there is precedent for that. We did that last year for the Student Suicide Prevention Plan legislation that was being passed in the New York State Senate. That might be best as a separate resolution, but we can't do that.
Just one recommendation. Hoping that there'd be more
Very good point. There is a whole like resolution previously made, whole fact sheet. It's super long. It's like it's 7 pages that goes over all the funding opportunities. We just decided to keep the resolution.
Okay. Yeah. Then my question is, the amendment by Tlaib to kind of clear it up. So in this resolution, I just want to clarify the language. If a person's visa is taken due to in violation of their quote-unquote First Amendment rights, Cornell is, under this resolution, should provide legal counsel for such a student. Is that correct in the language?
It will assist in finding the student-qualified legal counsel, which is a program that already operates through the Cornell Law School in finding immigration assistance for students, legal immigration assistance.
Important thing to note regarding this resolution is that we're really asking for people to exist either at the ready or somewhere. Thank you. Something easily to campus or slightly changed to make this work.
Seth Chidori.
We as an assembly can distribute materials on this, regardless of a resolution. We can make these decisions.
I feel like all of us realize about all of these executive orders that they are really fast and everything's been going on super, super fast, 2 weeks, not a lot of notice. So we have been trying to do as much as we can, collaborate with as many organizations that we can, use our resources and, you know, collaborate on resolutions like this to protect our students. Like Adam said, we aren't really adding anything new. It's basically protecting stuff that already exists. As for collaboration with Cornell Law, happy to reach out to them in the next 1 week before the next reading calendar if they have any suggestions and stuff. But you could always reach out, ask if they want to support that stuff.
Do you mind sending the Cornell Law fact sheet to me? Because we'll put it on the next student assembly newsletter.
Yeah. If you send that fact sheet to me as well, and also if you have a specific person in mind in Cornell Law.
Seeing none, so moved. Thank you for your time. We are now moving to Resolution 35, approval of the SAIFC mid-spring recommendation. Representatives Meng and Chidori, please come to the front.
Hi guys, so far Infrastructure Fund Commission has a new update since we have a new project approved. So starting for this resolution, I would like to give a brief introduction about what the newly approved project is. So this is a project sponsored by student Club of Cornell Architect as student of student practices. And the main applicant is Franklin Berry, which is our great fellow. for student assembly. He brought up this idea because he has seen that there's a huge gap for our communication with our constituents, student bodies, and really wants to really bridge this gap by creating more communication channels like a board of sharing all kinds of information. So that's why kiosk, a kind of information board, can be put on the high foot traffic area on campus. It's proposed for Students Infrastructure Fund. And with that idea also, we have identified there are some extra benefits for this project, as it will also help the club, the Cornell Architect Student Practices Club, to do some hands-on experiences and really allow students to participate in this kind of designing process as well implementation process. At the same time, Infrastructure Fund Commission really look for some project that can benefit all the undergrads, and we believe that to let all the undergrads know about student assembly more can also let them understand how can they help themselves create the better campus life. So that's why the community, after discussing, we decided to allocate $20,000 as our initial funding allocation for this project. And of course, there are $40,000 requested, but since our leftover funding right now is around $53,000, and we still want to look at some other potential applications, but we still acknowledge that if there's no other application taking the remaining fund, we will still to support this project fully. So that's why we said, okay, for the initial funding allocation, we're giving $20,000. And if there's any extra money left by the end of the year, we'll give the up to $20,000 to this project again. And that's pretty much the thing about this resolution. And I believe we are happy to take on any questions right now.
Representative Geckman.
I'm confused a bit. $20,000 for a kiosk?
Franklin's in the room. If you'd like to join, you may at any time. Okay, sorry, Representative Chidori. I just wanted to say that before.
So high. What did we giants speak today? Yeah, so this is so weird. All right. Yeah, for the kiosks, looking at current models that some companies already make, they usually range 7 to 12,000. But this certain kiosk design is also kind of morphed because we're looking for it to be as low maintenance for the university upkeep as possible. So we're gonna add like solar panel elements. You've probably seen those kind of like solar panels.
O'Donnell.
Yeah, going off that same point, what's the advantage of this kiosk over a sign suggestion and would not require any maintenance whatsoever?
One, sign and maintenance box, love that idea. That's actually part of a different thing that we might do in dining halls. But the main point of this is that right now, a lot of students on this campus, one, don't know what this form of student government is even called. They don't even know that we're called the student assembly, let alone interact with this body. So the idea is that we would be placing these kiosks that have some form of literal interaction and also change on a regular basis to be one-stop shops for all the students on campus. They'll be put in high foot traffic areas so that it's not just something that I might have seen one time. Throughout their entire four-year undergraduate career, they're gonna be walking past these things every single day. So it'll be unavoidable to know what that is and that what it offers resources that's available to them and updates them about whatever the assembly's getting up.
Can I have a follow-up question?
You'll have to be after them. Representative Yao.
Hi, could you elaborate more on the specific functions of this kiosks? So right now, to me, it sounds like a pamphlet stand, but could you elaborate on like what specifically it would look
like? Its main function and purpose would be to have some kind of digital screen that could be constantly updated with new resolutions that pass by the assembly and or have a talk. Like I said, again, they want something recent, we're going to leave it there. We would have, you know, some form of permanent QR codes to the current committees that are and secondary functions, you know, to please the university would be maybe some kind of
just like the voiceless something gets out newsletter. Hey, student assembly, health advisory committees like accepting applications, like it's stuff like that, like basically like, hey, like giving us like a little bit more of a direct reach there.
Representative Galperin and then Representative O'Donnell.
Hi. My first question is, who would be responsible for maintaining this? You envision this as just like being a place where like the access, maybe resolution, selection for maintenance. Who would be responsible for maintaining this? Because, you know, I think it's a great idea. If it goes wrong,
since it's the University of Tech, it would be property of the university and therefore university is responsible. The design is specifically trying to make it so that it's like self-sustaining. Like we talked about solar panel, we talked about like it's not supposed to be something like super high tech either, where like you need someone to go and fix it like every single day. Just
Vice President Fono has speaking precedent, so we'll be kind of at that.
Very truthfully, I haven't fleshed out the semantics of it like super well, but like I'm thinking just off the top of my head, like what's like the new position for like vice president of like external communication? I don't know like what the new like one for that is. It's like vice president of communications, like yeah, okay, that. This so like maybe that them like yeah.
Representative O'Donnell.
It's maybe I'm misunderstanding something, but I failed to understand the advantage of what you describe over a bulletin. And help. I volunteer if the student assembly would give me a stipend of $200 a month to build and maintain a bulletin board. Exactly what I personally volunteer to do.
I mean, like two things. Like one, like this fund is supposed to be so that we can create like infrastructure projects like on campus, which is exactly is. Two, it's like a little bit like more high tech than like just a bulletin board overall. Like we do postering on campus, but like student assembly's outreach is terrible. Like terrible. Like people don't understand what resolution is getting passed, like what student assembly even is. Like hardly anyone meeting, so shout out to you people who are like here. People don't know what this is, what we do, like at all. And a simple bulletin board, I guess, is the idea of the commission is that like this just isn't gonna fix it. So that's why we wanna have something a little bit more high tech. It's a pretty cool design too.
But it being high tech is not, especially if it's 10 to 20.
So you can't go back and forth. It's out of order. Okay, next will be Representative Letterman.
Hi there. My question to you is about that. Look at my.
on that is that we don't have access to those, and every time it's in the past that the student assembly has submitted to advertise something on those TV systems, the request has been rejected. So act as though they don't exist for us, because they don't. Okay, next is Representative Silverman. You're out of order. Oh, okay, sorry. Representative Rozak and then Representative Silverman.
A few things. First of all, I do agree our advertising could be better about like what we do. Secondly, though, I do think that there are probably cheaper alternatives than this, particularly something that's like a bit more, I mean, the way that I'm envisioning it, I obviously don't know what this looks like, but if it's what I think it looks like, the student has to like actually go up to it to like see what it's displaying, whereas there are other options where like somebody said, a bulletin board where like they'll see it as they're walking.
So just like to clarify what the infrastructure committee does, we don't come up with anything. We get applications to us and we have a set amount of money, and then we say, hey, does this seem like a good idea? Like, yes, no, maybe. And if it's maybe, then like, how much money are we giving it? What money are we giving it for? But we don't have purview over what projects that came to us. Now, if any of you lovely people have a great infrastructure project on campus, the Infrastructure Fund Commission has $32,000 left that we have to spend for the end, or I guess $52,000 because we haven't approved this yet. Yeah, so if you have a better idea for like an infrastructure project that could be put up like on campus and it's like creative and like fun and you think it'll help student assembly, like by all means apply. But we did only get one project application like in by this time that's complete. Like I know we have some of them like that are pending right now, which is exactly why we have that rolling system. But because of that, we do have to like vote on this. And since it's like somewhat of a good idea that the commission voted on, that's why we agreed upon like passing and moving it forward.
Representative Silverman, and then Representative Alfab, and then Representative Kim, and then go from there. Locked out of one of them, so there's really one. You just can't delete the other one.
Yeah, that's not really like in our purview, like. Simone, like if you like need like funds or like money or something, like we could like talk, like yeah, absolutely. But like basically our role is we were given the project and we said, hey, is this a good idea? And we thought so, yes, which is what we're coming to you guys here with today.
Also,
but
the Instagram account has like 200 followers, and who knows if all of them are current students, like forcing people to look at things when they're walking on campus is very different from maybe they follow our Instagram account. Just to put it out there. Anyway, please continue. Apologies.
Who's next?
Oh, okay. Representative Offstop.
Okay, what I'm hearing is that.
Pictures and diagrams for a third reading calendar. Third reading, get ready for it.
Okay, we're gonna vote on that motion to end debate. All those in favor of ending debate, please raise your placards. Okay, all those opposed? Okay, we are now closing debate. If you have any other questions, please talk to the sponsors between now and third reading. And also keep in mind that the SAIFC account gets around $70,000 a semester. And if we do not use it, it goes away. It does not transfer to next year, none of it. Well, see, that's 20 out of how much? Like, it's not that much.
Points of parliamentary procedure.
think?
Yeah, closing debate. Yeah, by closing debate, it moves to the third reading calendar. No, there's been a people motion for either, for both language, and it's honored the same way. So the system, the order, the reading calendar is in our standing rules. That's not Robert's rules. The motions on making a motion to close debate is Robert's rules. Making a motion to move to the third reading calendar is within Robert's rules for out, like under our standing
could
rule.
We
which our standing
change,
rules
I find that very confusing. Because when we say motion to close debate, it's like we should have this.
So the fact that we've ever voted on moving something from the second reading calendar to the third reading calendar is just a formality. As long as we close debate, it automatically moves over.
What would be the...
You can't just like sit there.
It's interchangeable. Can we move on to a different point?
We don't want to be... like, that...
You motion to table. Yeah. Okay. We will now move to Resolution 36, addressing recent extraordinary actions in the federal government. Representative O'Donnell? No, the moment has passed. Okay, order. Representative Rizak, please present.
Hi, everybody. Can everybody hear me? Okay. Awesome. So, in the last couple of days, since the new administration has taken power, we've seen multiple executive orders that affect everybody in this country. But a few of them, in particular, affect students on this campus. And this resolution goes through in the whereas section all those some of those executive orders, how they affect students. So feel free to look at that, just mentioning some of them. Resolution 20, which was passed a few weeks ago, committed us to our climate goals. Current executive orders basically roll back climate goals, and there's potential that going forward, and us being committed to decarbonization as we did as a body a few weeks ago could put us in the crosshairs of the administration, which you know we probably don't want. But at the same time, we need to be committed to protecting our environment. Another executive order that affects this campus is the one that withdrew the US from the WHO, as we saw during the COVID-19 pandemic. The WHO is very important to coordinating international efforts to combat disease, and if it fails to do so, it can lead to disruption of all of our lives, as we saw 2020 to 2021. And then we already sort of addressed this with Resolution 33 last week, we all know the importance of diversity, equity, inclusion programs, which have also been targeted by the administration and are important to upholding Cornell's mission of any person, any study. Beyond that, there have been several attacks on our constitutional order, which protect our rights as citizens, as Americans, as students, and all of these things are very concerning. So. And then in the whereas section, phone's ringing, sorry. Whereas section basically We talk about the importance of if there are any funding cuts to existing projects that are under that are going on in the university should try to find alternative sources of funding to help those students or those faculty members complete their projects. And the university should try to continue cooperating with international research partners, even though we're no longer the WHO. And beyond that, continue to create a diverse campus environment that's in line with our mission, any person, any study. Questions, amendments?
Start with Representative Letterman, Gekman, Chidori, Galperin.
Hi, so it seems like there's a lot of stuff. First off, I want to say,
no response.
I guess so that's like in there because like it's whereas clauses and like it's giving text, that's what a whereas clause is for. That's basically what it is. Also to say it's outside of our purview, that's literally why we exist. All of the stuff that we do here goes across colleges to do that. So to say that it's outside our purview, we're just like general virtue signaling, especially when it affects not even a good chunk everybody on this campus in one way or another. Think you'd be like intellectually dishonest, like
and then another thing is that we go through all these examples of the courts and the Congress because we would hope that if there are things that negatively affect you know, people in the United States, that the other bodies of government would be able to stand up for us. But since they're not doing that right now, or not all of them are doing that right now, we have to stand up for our constituents, and we are hoping that the university stands up for the students that go here and make this such a wonderful institution.
Okay, order will be paused as these two have speaking precedent. So EVP Vinson will go first, and then Vice President Flournoy, and then we'll resume.
Saad and Niles kind of covered this, but I do feel that this is technically within purview for the whereas clause reasoning, but also it's just these events don't just happen in ether. They don't just happen and they don't impact us. They do, especially the ones like the NIH grant funding, but also some of the other things, pulling out of Paris Climate, pulling out of the WHO, these do have impacts back on Cornell University. So I do feel that it is appropriate and germane to mention them.
I don't know because I remember secretary from SUNY explained it to me. So like the way our situations work, it's different states. Specific because department is just so I don't know if they could touch like position, but like we can put it just to make sure.
Financially, we operate as a university department, so be on the safe side with that. Next would be Representative Geckman.
I'm gonna like because first be it therefore resolved clause says that condemns these extraordinary actions of the Trump administration. This is line 70 and 71. I understand that there are many things under the purview, like Representative Vincent, Vice President Vincent said, such as WHO, NIH, as well as a few other things. But in terms of commenting on our foreign policy as a country, we were elected to represent the student body and make choices for the school, not to comment on what the U.S. should be doing about NATO. Now, I have similar potential thoughts to what you guys have written and your kind of notions into what our foreign policy stance should be as a country, but this is conversations we have in the classroom and we debate about and we call our congressional representatives to talk about, not something that we discuss in the student assembly where there's so many other issues that we could be focusing on as a school. I mean, I'm sorry, but this body did nothing when the whole Ki-Fi situation happened. I made a comment, but there was nothing exactly fully done to really comment on that, find a way to really kind of call an action for the school to take, or at least if there was, I don't think it was strong enough. But to target what the vice president is saying, again, there are things in this resolution that I agree about, but at least lines 70 and 71, I think, need to be striked because it's not our responsibility to talk about NATO. And if it is, please explain why it is.
Okay, so you said a lot, so I'm going to try to get to what I can. So essentially off of the we didn't do anything about the Ki-Fi situation, that's not true. I don't know if you did or did not pay attention. We passed a whole resolution on that. It was a whole thing, made a statement about it as well. I'm pretty sure we put a thing on the Instagram. I would know because I helped edit it, so check that out. So that did happen. That's really important.
Sorry,
to know.
Thank you. Yeah.
You're welcome. Also, in terms of like we are not permitted to talk about this stuff or it should be classroom discussions, that's absolutely not true. And even it's the same thing as like last week with R33. It's okay when it's stuff that we like or if it affects me, we can like fit in here. But if it's something that's, you know, outside of our purview, we don't like think or it doesn't.
Well, R33 is about protecting students.
Yes, this is about a student.
What does
about this?
NATO have to do about protecting our students?
Okay, decorum, and also this is becoming out of order. There's no back and forth allowed. So Representative Chidori is next.
So I do
things. First of all, I shared this resolution with multiple people before I submitted it. Everybody had the opportunity, or a lot of people had the opportunity, to comment on it or tell me if they disagreed or if they would like to see any edits. I'm still open to, you know, any amendments. However, I do think that there is a lot of stuff going on currently, referring to the last yet finally resolved clause that you mentioned, Representative Chidori, is there's a lot of stuff that's going on without proper oversight in the federal government right now that does affect students, such as what happened at NIH, such as what it seems to be happening at the Department of Education, two things that directly affect students at Cornell University, our constituents. That's just two examples. However, I would be more than happy to discuss softening that language. But if you have any specific suggestions on what that language would be, I'd be more than happy to hear them.
Okay, two things from the, or three things from the chair. One, motion to extend the meeting time to 6:45. Is there any dissent? Seeing none, this meeting time is extended. Also, it sounds as though a lot of the comments are very in favor of the NIH-WHO language, and that there may also be overlap between the other language in this resolution and the two other resolutions, one we've passed and one we've just reviewed. So would you, just in thinking about the transition between second and third reading for this resolution, I just recommend that you follow that general theme, if that is understood by the to be like a good summary of the assembly's comments. But we'll see. There's still more discussion. And then the third thing is, I'm now going to limit the total time of one question and one answer to 4 minutes combined. And we will start off on that with Representative Galperin, and then Representative Oftob, and then Representative Gonzalez-Montieri, and then Representative Silverman, and then I'll see.
Yeah, so kind of somewhat echoing what people have said before, I think we're dealing with several different issues resolution. NIH funding for research is one thing. DEI is another thing. Foreign policy is another thing. And I think there's people have different opinions about it. Like, the level of different. What I think might be best would be for us to maybe send this to committee at this point, maybe separate these things out. I think we're probably mostly on the same page about funding for university programs and stuff, but these are a lot of different issues tied together, pretty much most of which I agree with you on, but it seems a little hasty, and it seems a little much for one thing.
A couple of things on that. I don't exactly know what committee would have jurisdiction over this. I think there's something that everybody here has a right to be a part of, to debate. That's the first thing. The second thing is that prolonging the process, breaking this into multiple resolutions would, as some previous representatives have said, prolong this process and take time away from other things that directly affect students as well as some of these things. However, like I said, I would be open to amendments, or we would be open to hearing amendments in the next couple of days.
I think it would be accepted so long as there are not substantial changes between the material to separate one resolution into multiple. Okay, moving to Representative Oftob. Vote on the motion to end debate. All those in favor of closing debate. Okay, all those opposed.
Yes. Can I move to send this to you?
So, no, it's too late. The motion to close. Okay, the debate is closed. However, a response to what Representative Oftob said about putting resolutions in the box earlier as they are due Monday night, very frequently resolutions are improperly formatted and other things have to be cleaned up before they are put in the box, so that's why there's a delay. Beyond that?
Yeah, I put them in as soon as possible. A lot of our resolutions come in like 10 p.m. the night before, so that next morning I get it ready and it's in the box as soon as possible.
We are now moving to the third reading calendar with Resolution 31, incorporating the Cornell Meal Plan at Trillium Dining Hall.
How we doing? Almost done, guys. So this is the exact same resolution that was there 2 weeks ago. Since there was a lot of people missing last week, like sponsors, we decided to push it back 1 week. Just as a quick recap, the meal plan does not really have a great option for lunch on Central Campus, especially for students who are located on the Agriculture Quad. So because of this, we want to figure out a way to expand it a little bit. Currently, right now, Cornell Dining has this Meals on the Move program where it lets you go and have pickup locations for a box lunch, very similar to what happened during the worker strike. What this resolution originally proposed is that we wanted to add a pickup location similar to like in the dining strike at Trillium for Meals on the Move, so that students in the middle of the day can then go and pick up a box lunch they can utilize with meal swipes. The hope for this resolution is it starts a long line of communication, eventually transitioning into a more long-term approach for a better meal swipe option on Central Campus, rather than just overcrowding Oak and Shields year after year after year. But it's the first step in that long process. Now, between the second and third reading calendars, we also, Ezra and I started working with Zora and Caroline, and we've added a separate portion of this resolution altogether.
So this is Caroline, for those of you who don't know her. She's our liaison from the Student Athlete Advisory Committee, or SAC, and she is the president of SAC now. We've been talking for quite some time about how to improve dining options for student athletes, as they are a little under 10% of the student population, and they're primarily centered. A lot of their schedule is located on East Campus, and there, as was already expressed, there are no meal swipe dining options in that region. And in fact, over time, more and more dining locations on East Campus have just closed over the last decade, making food a little scarce for student athletes, people who definitely need to be eating and eating well. So we've added in a section that we talked about in a meeting last week with some athletics admin about, they've been talking about Cornell Dining, and so hopefully this will add some more encouragement for the addition of the meal swipes option for Trillium Breakfast. Trillium offers two breakfast options, and it is not like everyone on campus goes to Trillium for breakfast, so we think it would be a good opportunity to pilot Trillium meal swipes for hot food, and also as there is not, like, not even Oak and Shield serves breakfast on Central Campus, it's also just a great way for students in general to be able to eat breakfast on campus with their meal swipes. If you have an 8 a.m. class, maybe you're not eating beforehand, but maybe you're hungry after, right? So that's the primary goal around all those additions. Carolyn, do you have anything to add?
No. I would just say that a lot of times we all have, you know, I myself have 5:30 practice, and it goes until 8, and I have 9:05s, and so I have to drive and park on campus, and there's no breakfast available, period. That uses meal swipes. And so you're, you know, going through your PRP so fast, you're spending so much, and you have to pay for breakfast. There's no other option. There's no way to go about it. And so meal swipes at Trillium for specifically breakfast would be an awesome alternative that would help, you know, 10% of the student body.
We're good for questions.
Vice President Flournoy?
Wait, sorry, okay. Ezra has something to add.
It's also just a matter of financial accessibility, I think, you know. At least those on the unlimited plan all have the same 400 BRBs, which especially if you're eating at Trillium on a daily basis, that goes quickly. When that goes quickly, you have to pay with actual money, and for some people that is just not an option. You know, my view, what is the point of, you know, financial aid or a scholarship that covers your meal plan if you're still going to be struggling to get food? So yeah, that's the main thing I had to say.
Okay, now Vice President Flournoy.
So, person one, who would support?
Second?
Second.
Any dissent?
Oh, and also, like, friendly amendment to add.
Okay, we'll do that.
Right after.
As adopted. Now you can make your amendment.
Oh, friendly amendment to add.
Okay, is there a second? Is there any objection? No. As adopted.
Do I announce the amendment? Okay. Motion to amend lines 37 through 40 to say, quote, be it further resolved, the student assembly urges Cornell Dining to allow Trillium Dining Hall breakfast to become a meal swipe swipe option daily from 8 to 10:30 a.m. And be it further resolved, the meals to go program should be available during peak lunch hours, 11 a.m. to 2 p.m. to alleviate overcrowding at other meal swipe locations.
Is there a second? Is there any dissent to the amendment? As adopted. Is there any further discussion on this resolution? Is there a second? Any dissent? Resolution 31 is adopted by unanimous consent. And as we are at the end of our agenda, this meeting is adjourned at 6:15 p.m.